every human being has the same digestive cycle. And the first being, the first phase of it is elimination phase. The second phase is ingestion phase. And the third phase is absorption phase. Our body has a system, right? And I think if we can develop digestive discipline, then we can not only, we can thrive from a whole food plant-based diet and lifestyle.
What if you, with purpose and mindfulness, decided to surround yourself with positivity? What if you walked away from negative energy? What if you were constantly the positive energy in every room you walked into until it became so contagious that you positively impacted everyone around you? How would that impact your life? You're listening to Compassionate Mindfulness with Xenia, the podcast that will inspire you to use your story to change the world. Thanks for tuning in to Compassionate Mindfulness with Xenia. This is your host, Tanya Monuma. I'm so grateful to have you here with me today to learn and grow. This podcast is dedicated to changing our narrative in order to change our life. And this month, we dive into nutrition. Now, whether you believe in strictly eating a plant-based diet or not, I believe we can get so much value in learning from other people's experiences. I, for one, am not a vegetarian or a vegan, but I do know and appreciate how much a plant-rich diet can be of great benefit to our system. On today's episode, I have the passionate Toussaint Stewart. Toussaint is a holistic health and wellness coach who supports people through his signature program, Back to Whole, the Self-Care Academy, with classes on pranayama, integrated meditation, body weight, strength training, and plant-based nutrition. He also just published his first book on whole food plant-based diet and lifestyle entitled Plant-Based 101, Whole Food, Whole You. His life mission is to eradicate lifestyle disease through the incorporation of preventative transformational lifestyle practices and education. You can just feel how passionate he is about nutrition and helping people understand the importance of it. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Toussaint Stewart. I have the author of Plant-Based 101, Whole Food, Whole You here with me today, Toussaint. Thank you so much for being here with me. In preparation for our conversation, I was doing a little research and heard you say, Toussaint, that we intuitively know what we should be eating, and I couldn't agree more on
Absolutely.
That.
Yes.
So how would you say do we get to that version of ourselves that intuitively knows and goes for the right foods that serve us and make lasting changes that will keep us on the right track?
That's a wonderful question. How do we get in touch with that version of ourselves that knows how to eat and what to eat? And this is what I call the process of embodiment. That part of us that is an herbivore. Human beings are anatomically created to eat plants. This is a biological and scientific fact, right? We are electromagnetic creatures, and we thrive off of primary sources of amino acids, complex carbohydrates, green things, this is who we are. We are surrounded by a green kingdom. And, when you look at the molecular structure of chlorophyll, it is nearly identical to the blood, to our blood molecule. So this is proof that plants are for us, right? And this is proof we get our air, we get our oxygen from plants. But how do we embody it? we develop a completely different relationship to fruits and vegetables. We have to unlearn this standard American dietary lifestyle of self-destruction, and we have to begin to self-reflect and listen to our bodies. Because if we don't stop and pause and start going, man, I'm in, and just start listening, then nothing's going to happen. And this, you know, obviously living within this matrix, it's very challenging to just be mindful of your own process and your own body temple because of this 9-to-5 culture, keep you distracted with Netflix, keep you consuming, keep you all this. But if we can just go to a quiet space and reflect, how was my body temple truly feeling? Then we will naturally begin to understand, like, wow, I feel really sleepy after I just had that meal that had no water in it. It literally sucked the life out of me. Now I want to go to sleep. But for some reason, when I eat oranges and apples and mangoes and pears, I feel rejuvenated. I feel refreshed. Maybe I should start eating that more, right? But it really takes someone to have the courage to stop for a second. Just stop and look within and begin to self-reflect and understand, like, wow, I need to check in with myself. That has to be the first step.
Yeah. So you're saying awareness and almost test, don't guess. Go ahead and try the healthy version of what you know what is healthy. Try it out. See how you feel. Right.
Absolutely. And the thing is that we know we need to be drinking a lot of water, right? Everybody, water, 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 water. Gotta have my water bottle. Gotta have my water. Gotta have my water. You know, that's a given, right? So you know that you are over 70 to 80% water as a human being, and you need to drink, you need to have more of what you are to stay thriving. However, we need to start eating our water through the form of fruits, vegetables, and herbs. Why? Because the human body is made of structured water, H3O2. This is like a gelatin, slightly solidified version of water that make up who we are. And you only get that from fruits and vegetables and herbs, right? And so, and this is 80 to 90% water, almost represents the ratio of water that's our human body. So when we eat fruits and vegetables and herbs, we're literally eating our ratio, right? This is what we thrive off of, right? And so we have to look at hydration as not just what you're drinking, this plain water, which is not a bad way to hydrate. But if you drink too much of that, you can literally flush electrolytes out of your body. When you eat fruits, they're comprised of electrolytes. You're rejuvenating your body, right? And so eating your water is extremely important, right? People already know they have to drink water, but when you start to eat your water, that's when things change and shift.
Yeah, and that's an amazing way of saying it too, because it kind of resonates and people will understand that you say it in a very clear way, eat your water.
And, absolutely.
And it's, I don't think it's any coincidence that the ratio is so similar to how much water is on Earth compared to the ratio we have within our body.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm. So to make lasting changes that will keep us on the right track, what are the steps to making those lasting changes, do you think?
Well, I believe to making lasting changes is to understand that when you work with nature, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong, right? When you work with your homeostasis, you can't go wrong. And working with nature is honoring the fact that you are anatomically created to be an herbivore. You're an herbivore by nature. And this is one of the things I hit on in my book. I prove that human beings are meant to be herbivores in 7 different ways. Okay? Right? Just because we can digest flesh does not necessarily mean we're meant to consume it. Now, I'm not going to say there's no, you know, nutritional value of that, but our nature are plants. And so when you go back to nature, then you begin to honor your homeostasis. Your homeostasis needs support to keep that balance and harmony between all cells and organ systems, between all atoms. This is the job of our homeostasis, right? This is our nature. We have been blessed with this homeostasis hardware in our bodies to support balance and harmony. And we need to support that balance and harmony through whole plant food so we can get back to nature. And then all of a sudden, you eliminate any possibility of lifestyle disease. I mean, just think about it. Imagine, you know, how do you feel after eating a mango as opposed to just drinking a regular glass of water? How do you feel?
That fulfillment.
Oh my gosh, you get everything you need, and you get the water, you get the electrolytes, you get the dietary fiber, you get the minerals, you get the vitamins, you get the digestive enzymes. It is literally healing yourself from inside and out. Not to poo-poo on regular water, but you know, if we're going to make lasting change, we have got to begin to start with real food. You don't have to tell children. My little babies run around here. When I start pulling out dates and blueberries and watermelon, they go nuts. My little boy's going to be 1-2 weeks from now, and he is literally pre-verbal screaming at me when I put a loquat in my hand. He knows he's getting some of that. My little girl is crying for dates and figs and blueberries and cantaloupe and watermelon. You know, they know this. And we knew this as children. We used to pick fruit and we used to, you know, steal fruit from people's backyards. We know this already. And so we just literally coming back home. And so the lasting change is really going back to fruits and vegetables, reestablishing this relationship and understanding that you are in the presence of something sacred when you are in the presence of fruits and vegetables. Stop trying to make so much sexy vegan food and, oh, this is just boring. Really? This is meant for you. How can it be boring? You know, I don't think the Most High makes anything boring. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, and it's okay, you know, to have some sexy vegan food, sexy whole food, but ultimately, we just got to go back to nature and go back to our nature. And that's to be herbivores and to honor that and do that in your own creative way. But know that you are meant to eat fruits and vegetables, herbs, leafy greens, legumes, seeds, and nuts. We're designed for this. I get really passionate about this because.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I just want people to understand, like, who they are. So a lot of times people forget, like, oh yeah, we are supposed to be eating fruits and vegetables. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. No, I don't blame you for being passionate. That's what I want. This podcast is dedicated to changing our narrative in order to change our life.
I love that.
Yeah. Month, I wanted to dive into nutrition. And so I was very happy to have your wife reach out. Because I think that once we change our narrative, there's so much amazing things that can happen for us. And it takes that one person to start really doing some self work to then have that ripple effect that's going to change many other people's lives. And I think that's what you're accomplishing now. Mm-hmm. So what would you say are some of the healthiest narratives that we should have around nutrition?
Some of the healthiest narratives around nutrition. Well, I believe that one healthy narrative is honoring your digestive cycle. A lot of people are unfamiliar with the nature of our digestive cycle. Every human being has the same digestive cycle. And the first phase of it is elimination phase. The second phase is ingestion phase. And the third phase is absorption phase. Our body has a system, right? And I think if we can develop digestive discipline, then we can not only, you know, we can thrive from a whole food plant-based diet and lifestyle. There's a time when, you know, you just want to focus on fruits and water. And then there's a time where you want to eat your more dense macronutrients, healthy plant-based macronutrients, like, you know, quinoa, beans. And then there's a time where you want to shut the digestive system down, sip on a little bit of unsweetened herbal tea during the absorption phase, right? And so this idea of developing a new relationship to your body temple in terms of honoring its homeostasis, right? Our digestive cycles are an example of our body's homeostasis, right? And so when you honor your homeostasis in any way, you are giving yourself the best chance to thrive and to eliminate any possibility of chronic illness and lifestyle disease, I think. And so, yeah, you know, because we know during this, in the standard American diet, we think we can eat whatever we want, when we want, as long as we can buy it, you know, you know, and that's a mistake.
Absolutely. And it, and I think that mistake can be seen in the number of cases of disease within the United States. And I can speak for Canada as well and worldwide. I think it's yes. pretty obvious that we there's something that we're not doing right. Yes. And I think that the way we've popularized certain foods that are highly processed mm-hmm. needs to change. There needs to be a reverse and there needs to be more consciousness in what we're putting into our system. And I think, you know, the fruits and vegetable, you can't go wrong. Like you said, once you've eaten that versus a fry from McDonald's, you almost right. immediately feel the difference. So yeah, I totally yeah. agree. Mm. Where would you say this all began for you? How did you get so passionate about this subject?
Well, my parents were always passionate about health and wellness to a certain degree. My mother is a nurse. Well, she was a nurse for about 35 years in the emergency room. But she was somebody who had a garden in the front of the house and a garden in the back of the house.
We need more nurses like that. Let me just say yeah. that, because the health system will push pills in your face instead of prescribing an apple. So,
oh my God.
Yeah,
oh,
that's amazing.
Speak
that
on that.
Yeah. Okay, speak sorry about that.
That is so true though. You know, and having grown up with my mother as a nurse practitioner, she established some real boundaries for us. She didn't buy any sugar cereals. Now, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. So, you know,
it was rare.
Sugar cereal was like, it wasn't like this big health craze like it is. Well, not necessarily health craze, but people were becoming more health conscious back then. But there were so many cartoons with, you know, and the, you know, and then the commercials of the cartoons were all the sugar cereals.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, we were like, oh, mom, can we just have some Fruit Loops, some Cracker Jacks? Nope. And so she only bought us Raisin Bran and Corn Flakes. Now, that's not even, you know, Corn Flakes is not really healthy, but it, we didn't get any of that sugar cereal. And so just that value alone made us be like, man, but, you know, it was something that we grew up. And then she only cooked fried chicken twice a year.
A year?
Literally. And when you're young, you know, a year is like 10 years, you know? And so when it came around to fried chickens, I was like, yay, you know, but she let it be known, you know, it's not good to eat a lot of fried food because this will help, this will create heart disease. She was very clear about that. She'd never bought fast food for us. She never said, but I don't think I ever set foot in one McDonald's with my mother.
So that explains a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
But then my father, on the other hand, he was into the holistic arts where he became a masseuse, certified masseuse. He was a transcendental meditator. And he became like a slight vegetarian at one time. And he was just so excited about, you know, learning new things about how to care for himself. But he was also a binge alcoholic. So he was trying to use the healing arts to really, and the holistic arts of like breath work and meditation back in like the 80s, and also yoga. He did yoga as well in the late 70s and throughout the 80s. You know, he struggled with sobriety, but he also continue to reinvent himself. You know, when you go on a binge, you know, you're drinking for like 2 weeks straight and you're like, oh, what's going on? And all of a sudden he's taking another class. You know, he's learning about himself and whatever. And, you know, he loved going to the gym. He took me and my brother to the gym with him wherever, whenever he could. My parents broke up when I was really young, like two. And so I spent a lot of time with him growing up in LA in the summertime and in Oakland in the, and throughout the rest of the year. Then he moved back to Oakland. But there was always this consciousness around self-care when it came to my dad, because his quality of self-care really affected the amount of time we spent with him and the quality of our time with him. And you just never knew when he was going to be on a binge and we couldn't see him for a little while. And that really was, it was traumatic growing up, because he was very charismatic, very powerful man, just had a lot of demons, a lot of childhood trauma. He was trying the best he could to work on his health and wellness. But I knew that, the healing arts really supported him and helped him stay sober for some time. And so having these two different perspectives on health and wellness, eventually, as I got older, and became a track athlete in college and played football, basketball, baseball in high school, eventually, I realized that, you know, I really began to really care about what went into my body. So I went on a vegetarian journey in 1996. I went into a meditation with a group of men. We were doing this rites of passage. And I came out of this meditation one day after it was like a 2 week rites of passage. And I came out of the meditation like, I want to be vegetarian, you know, and I was in my mid 20s. I had been this guy at 2 o'clock in the morning in a Jack in the Box driveway. I talk about it in my book. I was in the Jack in the Box drive through getting a Jumbo Jack in the middle of the night with curly fries, waking up at, you know, Saturday and Sunday, feeling like a truck hit my stomach. Right. And I just got completely tired of that feeling. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why do I need to have all these, you know, make these bad nutrition choices? And I had been thinking about becoming vegetarian, but when I got in that meditation with these brothers, it hit me. And so I just went on my journey. I wasn't perfect. There were times where, you know, I slipped here and there, but I was very intentional. And then I became a whole food plant-based vegan about, I want to say 8 years ago, where I was just full-fledged. Like, I am completely whole food plant-based now. And from there, I began to develop a whole new relationship to fruits, vegetables, herbs, leafy greens, legumes, seeds, and nuts. I began to create my own practices that I would have around fruits and vegetables and using herbs and spices. And I began to create my own culinary situation. I already had a vegan pesto company called Besto Pesto. And I love making sauces. I love making guacamole, salsas, chutneys. I just love making sauce. And my mother made fresh pesto growing up. She was an international cook as well as a nurse, you know, but she loved to cook because she used to organize politically with people from all over the world back in the 70s. And they had potlucks. And so she learned how to cook a lot of different types of food from scratch. And so I had this amazing palate growing up, right? And I always knew I wanted to try to eat good. When I got on my own, I would just think about my mom's food, you know?
Based on those two, I think they're beautiful. Your mom and your dad's way of thinking and the way you grew up. This podcast is a lot about mindset as well. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to give us a tour of what your mindset is like. How do you view the world around you? Just based on those two very important people in your life, I can only imagine that you've built a very strong, and based on how you speak as well, you've built a very strong mindset. around everything, your beliefs and everything?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a really good question, because I believe, you know, there's two different types. Like, you know, my mother was also a Buddhist. So my mom, I watched her practice her chanting twice a day, every day since I've been in the fifth grade. You know,
what did that do for you? What did that do for you?
Well, it made me real. Well, I watched her life transform from when she was when she became Buddhist. And so she didn't force it on us or anything, but it was just more like I had so much respect for her practice. And I understood that if you are intentional about your life and you're practicing something, then your life can change. And then I realized that watching my father meditate, watching him go to the gym and watching him be so invigorated about his health and wellness, and then watching him get so down in the dumps and talking about his childhood trauma when he would be on binges and stuff, I said, wow, when he practices alcohol, it's a whole nother him. But when he's practicing, you know, weightlifting and meditation and going into the sauna to detoxify and, you know, massaging people and healing the room. My father would heal the room with his hands, you know. When he would be steeped into these practices and meditation, and he would come out so invigorated, it was just like, and then my mother had her practice and had her boundaries around her health. It just gave me a mindset of like, it's okay to establish boundaries and to develop your own practices that serve you. It's like, why are you just going to go with the flow the whole life, your whole life? No, you can establish intention and let the universe know what you want to see more of in your life by living an activated, intentional life, right?
That's beautiful.
You know, I watched my mom explore the world. I mean, my mom's life completely shifted when she became a Buddhist. And, you know, I'm not a Buddhist, but I respect her relationship to her spirituality and her path, you know. And it was so nice because I think we were one of the only families in East Oakland whose mom was chanting, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, you know. And then my father, obviously, he was the only dad figure around my friends. But it wasn't a lot of meditation examples out there. My father would meditate for us and teach us how to meditate. So having this mindset around practice, it's like, it was, you know, I knew I was going to get into meditation one day. I knew I was going to get into something around health one day. And so then eventually I became a personal trainer, a meditator, but my mindset around practice, that's my whole philosophy. And the biggest thing I push on my clients and help them embody, you need to set up your daily, not just personal hygiene practice, but your holistic health and wellness practice. And you don't have to go on a retreat to do it. Every day can be a retreat. Yes. I can show you how to spend 35 minutes a day to make you leave the house ready.
That is a very important takeaway for all of us, to have that stability, that constance, in order to grow, because that's the only way you can grow, by implementing these little things that are going to just help you, remind you of your intentions and how you want to lead your life. So yeah, that's great. Absolutely. Thank you so much for mentioning that.
Absolutely.
What is the impact you're looking to create with everybody that you touch?
That's a really good question. The impact I'm looking to initiate or to invoke is to help people become active agents in their own self-transformation. I believe as human beings having this, you know, this experience, you know, spiritual beings having a human experience, I firmly believe we are meant to come here to do some amazing work, but we are meant to evolve at the speed of light. We are meant to be fully embraced with our authentic self. And self-care is how you nourish your light to shine. I want people to learn the art of nourishing their light to shine. It is intrinsic in our nature to serve, to love, to give, and to shine our gifts. And somewhere along the line, we got caught up in thinking we need to be this to be ourselves. We need to do this. We need to go down here. And a lot of us feel like we're square pegs trying to fit into a round hole, or a round peg trying to fit into a square hole.
Yeah, even worse. Yeah.
we were created unique expressions of the Most High. And it is my intention to have an impact to allow people to fully embrace who they are in the universe, like their part in infinite spirit, like why they're here, and embrace that and run with that with boldness. And I firmly believe the practices that I help my clients implement will give them access to their, will give them access to unleash the heaven that they came into the world with.
Yeah. And you know why it probably does work. It does work. Not probably, it does work. It's because you implement nutritious foods. And I think that is absolutely one of the gateways of allowing people to express themselves, because once they're not nourishing their cells with the right things, it's very hard for somebody to, everybody can be compassionate. Everybody can live well, but when you live with nutritious foods in your body, yes, it's much easier to be compassionate. It's much easier to express the true you. So food is medicine. And I think that what you're doing is definitely helping people find themselves, as you say, through nutrition. Yeah.
Absolutely. Food is divine. Food is your every nutrition experience that you partake in is a conversation with every cell in your body. Do you want to have an inflammatory conversation, or do you want to have a detoxifying conversation? Do you want to have a fiber-filled, vitamin, nutrient-filled conversation, or do you want to have a conversation that's going to make you get high and then drop you down low, you know? Yeah. And being intentional about that is so key, because food, live food, is not dead when you put it in your mouth. It's still alive. It's creating, it's diversifying your gut microbiome. It is continuing to fortify your liver and your kidneys. Like, live food continues to thrive in you. So food is really another form of oneness. What are you becoming one with? What intentions are you entangling yourself with, right? And what intentions do you want to entangle yourself with so you can move forward and ascend to the next level? And I firmly believe that this has to be plants. But when you add a meditation practice, when you add nervous system regulation, when you add body weight strength training and yogic flexibility, when you begin to create a practice like that, then you begin to hit the whole you. And this, then life can be a holistically grounded, you know, not just, you know, with the nutrition, of course, that's a huge piece. But then, you know, when you add other pieces to your practice, then all of a sudden the gateways open up and you're just ready, you know?
Yes, I totally agree. I have to say, you have to test. You don't just guess, because I
like that.
Yeah. I don't just eat plant. I do eat meat. I am trying to get a little bit less meat in my diet. And if I do eat meat, it is organic. But I've always had an attraction to the plant-based diet. Yes. And again, test, don't guess. Mm-hmm. Take in all of the information and mm-hmm. see what works for you, because it is extremely yes. important to have the right things in your body. There's no denying that.
Yes, you know, and firmly too, I think gut health is one of the most amazing contributors to a full life. And I firmly believe that the gut bugs that you attract, this is like your second body, that you attract when you are on a whole food plant-based diet, right? Because there's a lot of, unfortunately, unhealthy vegans.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really, and there's a lot of people who are going vegan, which is great for the planet. But if you're not eating whole food and you're just eating an imitation standard American dietary lifestyle, like imitation meat, imitation cheese, imitation sausages, imitation this, and a bunch of loaded fries and all this kind of stuff, like, you know, like after a while, you're going to have the same exact problems that you had when you were eating a carnivore, omnivore diet, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of the foods that they're highly processed, right? So having it whole food, you know, an avocado hasn't been processed. You pick an apple, that is a whole food. So people have to understand what the differences are and be able to make reasonable decisions.
Absolutely.
And you kind of touched on this, but I wanted to ask you, what are some of your non-negotiables, your absolutely must-dos for longevity? So we want to live a long life, but we want to also lead that long life as healthy as we can for as long as we can.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you think are non-negotiables for a healthy, thriving life?
Well, honestly, I think non-negotiables have got to be daily exercise for sure. You have got to have a daily exercise regimen. We are not meant to be sedentary beings. As we sit, our cells are vibrating at the speed of light. As we sit, our liver and kidneys are literally working our bodies right now. Our cells are on a mission while we're sitting. So we already know we're not supposed to just be sitting down all day. And so having exercise is key, right? And that also contributes to mental health, and it also contributes to gut health, which contributes to mental health. and then having a completely rejuvenated relationship to whole food. You got to understand the food you take in your body is like a form of prayer. It is a form of communion with the Most High. And the thing is that you can learn the hard way or the easy way. You can take the mango route, or you can go the ribeye way. And then all of a sudden, one might give you cancer and you might be on a table going, I can't wait to get to plants. And the other one will just have you smiling and happy and easy, you know, and you might, you know, take your health awareness to an even deeper level. But the thing is, you know, we have to begin to prioritize whole food. Even if you don't want to be completely vegan, like you said, you eat a little meat, but if you make it a side dish that you have every other day or something like that, then, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, I know that, you know, ethical vegans have an issue with me saying that. You know, I am an ethical vegan as well. It took me a while to catch up to becoming an ethical vegan around like no harm to animals. I'm firmly there, but you know, I also deal with, I don't push that on people. I deal with where people are at. And, you know, my thing is like, okay, if you're going to eat meat, you need to understand how to eat it. It takes about 2 or 3 days for it to completely get out of your system. So if you can eat it every other or every other day, then your body will benefit more. And you need to surround it with dietary fiber, but making plants the priority, making leafy greens, legumes, whole grains like quinoa, amaranth, fruits, vegetables, and herbs, making these the priority is key. This is non-negotiable, right? And this will help you eliminate the possibility of chronic illness, because lifestyle disease and chronic illness is a choice. It's a choice. It is not like, oh, woe is me. That is a choice. You made the decision, and it wasn't just all about the food. It's about the stress. It's about the relationships. It's about these negative cycles that we're caught up in, even within our own families, that we have got to begin to become aware, get some help, get some therapy, learn how to listen to your intuition when you need to leave a relationship. Loving yourself is key. But what you eat is a form of love. I teach my clients that practicing a whole food plant-based diet and lifestyle is a form of self-love and self-preservation, right? Mm-hmm. And even if you're not completely whole food plant-based, when you look at that orange, all it wants to do is to become one with you, to support your kidneys, to support your liver, to support your immune system. It seeks no harm. It creates no inflammation, right? It has all the dietary fiber you need to diversify your gut microbiome. It is there to support you. It is a holy intention of the Most High. So when you're looking at fruits and vegetables, the non-negotiable is to understand that you're in the presence of something that is here to serve you. And so feel honored in the presence of fruits and vegetables. Don't feel like, oh man, you know, you got to change your mindset, you know, around this. And so that's the non-negotiable for me. Whole food and daily exercise. That's going to take care of a lot of stuff.
I could not agree more. Daily exercise is you have to see it as movement. You have to move. Mm-hmm. Living is movement. Even when you die, you're still moving because you're deteriorating. Cells are still moving. The movement is life.
Yep.
Of food, I couldn't agree more. You have to put into your body what will serve your body. So always ask yourself, is this going to be good for my body? And then make the decision whether you want to put it in your mouth or not. It's up to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. And living beyond our five senses, I think, is key.
Yes.
We are more than taste, touch, feel, smell, hear, sight. We are multidimensional beings who possess vision, who can download higher vibrations. So we are not our cravings. We are the awareness of our cravings.
Yeah.
If you can tap into that, then food addiction, eating to push down emotions will not consume you. You will get the help you need because you're aware of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes, right? Ask yourself powerful questions and you'll get the answers. Yeah, it'll get downloaded to you, as I like to say.
Yes, it will get downloaded. Absolutely.
To say what I wanted to ask you last is, is there anything that you think you should have touched on today that I may not have asked you? This is your time as well to promote anything that you're working on. We want to hear about what's going on, all of your retreat, whatever you have.
Yes. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to touch on the fact that I am first and foremost a vessel. And so I'm here to be used and I'm here to serve people. And I have two coaching containers that are powerful. The first one being plant-based one-on-one, raise your vibration, right? Within this particular coaching container, it's a 6-week coaching container where I coach you twice a week for 1 hour each, right? And I teach you how to embody your inner herbivore and teach you how to embody the version of yourself that knows how to eat to live and not just live to eat. We teach you how to unpack all of the self-destructive value systems around food. And we teach you how to embody your awareness around your relationship to food. And we teach you how to reprogram your relationship to food that can better match the desired lifestyle and ascension that you seek. Right. And so we teach you not just how to live a whole food plant-based diet and lifestyle, but we teach you how to sustain it. Even if you want to keep a little meat in your life and you just want to be able to, but we teach you how to value whole foods on a completely different level to where you're literally raising your vibration to match this lifestyle, this wellness, this healthy lifestyle that you seek. And it has 12 coaching sessions over a 6-week period. And you also get my book, Plant-Based 101, Whole Food, Whole You. You get that automatically when you join the coaching container. And the other coaching container that I have is called Back to Whole, the Back to Whole Self-Care Academy. This is my baby. It is 90 days. It takes 90 days to create a lifestyle. I give you 36 coaching practice sessions where I teach you how to use 5 to 6 different modalities of healing to build a robust, bulletproof morning and nighttime practice of self-love, self-care, and self-preservation so you can live your best life. We're talking about pranayama breath work practices. We're talking about embodiment meditation practices. We're talking about body weight strength training and yogic flexibility practices, nervous system regulation practices, and of course, whole food plant-based practices that you can do every single day in your morning practice and your nighttime practice. So that way you live an intentional life and you create a terrain to where your higher self can thrive, to where a fit life is the norm for you, to where an alkaline life is the norm for you, to where you're grounded and present. That's the norm for you, to where you eliminate anxiety and you're able to respond to crisis in your life in a healthy, grounded way, to where your parasympathetic nervous system is at your desire, because we're on fight or flight a lot in this society. Back to Whole teaches you how to access your parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest portion. And you actually access your parasympathetic nervous system through a whole food plant-based diet and lifestyle also.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Back to Whole is a 90-day coaching container, 36 practice coaching sessions. You get access to so much, right? I'm also developing a gut health masterclass to teach you how to level up your gut health, what affects your gut health, the implications around good gut health and the implications around bad gut health, and how to determine whether or not you need to level up your gut health, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so you can get information to all of these programs. And of course, to get my book, it's just an ebook and it's also an audiobook. So you get to hear my passionate voice, right? You can get it on my link tree and by just clicking the link in the bio of my Instagram handles,
yes.
Which is my Instagram is iam.toussaintstewart. And then my other Instagram is toussaintspeaks. Okay. And yeah, so I have a lot of offerings in my link tree, but the two most powerful ones for me right now that I'm doing is the Back to Whole Self-Care Academy, Plant-Based 101, Raise Your Vibration. And of course, the Gut Health Masterclass, and of course, the book. But I have other offerings as well. I'm starting my Source Meditation course or my Source Meditation membership. Course where you can have a hour long meditation session with various modalities starting next Friday. So that's going to be on there as well too. But check out my link tree, click the link in the bio. I also have two things. I have a free 30-minute health and wellness consultation. So if you just want some free advice, go there, click the link on my link tree to set up a holistic health and wellness phone call where I ask you questions about what's working for your wellness, what's not working for your wellness. We talk for 30 minutes. You get amazing recommendations from all of my expertise. I'm certified in multi modalities. And so I am about this life. And I also have a free holistic health and wellness practice called Intentional Friday that you can get into free. Go to the link tree, It's a 30-minute practice where we meditate, we do nervous system regulation work, we get you grounded, we do core training, I give you whole food plant-based nutrition guidance, and we do yogic flexibility, right? And this is key. People underestimate the power of flexibility because the nervous system is an extension of your brain. So your body is the brain. When you stretch out and when you get flexible, you begin activate, to heal. Yeah. You activate, you get healed, you get grounded, and everything just changes. So check out those two free things as well if you just want to get some wonderful advice from me and then maybe see if I can be a good coaching fit. That's completely fine. Free wellness call. Or if you just want to see how I am as a practitioner, come to Intentional Friday for free. I do it every Friday from 12 to 12:30 Pacific time.
That's a great, I am so impressed with how passionate you are about this. I thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was amazing. I just encourage everybody to check out that link tree, and I will definitely put the link in the show notes so that people have access to that as well. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. It's been my pleasure. Thank you for hosting me, and thank you for having this podcast and being so intentional about how to give people practical advice. You know, anybody listening to this show, you attracted this. Your higher self said, listen to her show right now. Somebody's going to be on to give you some advice. Listen to her show right now. And this is you. You did this. So thank you for being used.
I receive that. Thank you. I truly hope you enjoyed this conversation. And what I want to invite you to try out for this week is incorporate at least one meal that strictly has no meat in it. Just one meal. Test it out and take note of how it makes you feel. Continue to live with mindfulness and compassion. Never stop learning and growing. And if you get any value at all out of this content, go ahead and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with a friend or two, which will allow for more people to join the conversation. And I would really appreciate that. Visit me on Instagram and start your own conversation. Many blessings to you. As always, I thank you for tuning in. These episodes are meant to be of massive value to you, and so I hope you got something out of it. And if you did, all I ask in return is for you to give it a thumbs up, give it some love in the reviews, share with one or two friends whom you know will benefit from hearing this content. Check out the links in the description. Continue to lead with empathy, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Many blessings. This podcast is presented to you solely for educational purposes. It is not intended to be a substitute for the advice of a medical or other qualified professional.